Our book review, and it's kia ora and welcome to Cindy Kero.
Kia ora, Catherine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and I've heard some quite remarkable things about the book you're about to review for us. I'm very interested in your views. It's Oe, and it is written by Becky Manawatu.
Yep, okay. So Oe by Becky Manawatu is a southern New Zealand novel in the style of Once Were Warriors Rather Than To Kill a Mockingbird or The Bone People. The books share themes of racism, violence, and also redeemable characters. And I was struck particularly while reading it at the similarity of Beth, who is the cousin and close friend of a main protagonist, to Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird, and her relationship with her brother Beau. So they're plucky, resilient, protected by a decent man, and growing up into their moral selves. I read the book before I read about the author, which I'm really pleased I did, because it did confirm that Beth is based upon Becky and her experiences from an early part of her life. And I also thought that the main character of Arama, or Ari as he's called in the book, was someone that she was close to, and so that proved too. Her cousin, Glenn Beau, a little bit of interesting parallel there, her cousin who was killed at the hands of a violent and cruel man. So clearly she's drawing on her own experiences, or some of them, in writing the book. This first novel has received great reviews, and I can see why, though I think I'm much more lukewarm than other readers have been. It's good to read a New Zealand novel and an author that is specifically located as Māori in the South Island. And I think she writes with greater sophistication of language and clarity than Alan Duff and some other Māori writers. But unfortunately, I think she reinforces so many stereotypes of Māori and also of Pākehā that are more reminiscent of 1970s New Zealand rather than 2020. And I wonder if maybe that's partly because of living in the South Island. I don't want to get heaps of letters from the South Island. Two brothers are the main protagonists here, Tokiri, a teenager, and Arama, who's 8 years old. There's a cast of others that at times is a little confusing. It's a bit like following a whakapapa for the threads of all their connections and trying to make sense of it. Their auntie Kat, their mother Jade, slightly confusing because they have another mother that they refer to called Aunt Aroha. Their father Toko, their koro Henare, and their kuia Colleen, who show up late in the story and rather implausibly, I think. Why were these grandparents not involved in the lives of the orphan mokos? Because they seem loving enough. There are also some badass dudes, Hash and Coon, and a ginger-bearded man with no name. There are events that are terrible for their repeated violence, including intimate partner violence against Aunt Kat and their mother Jade, to orchestrated public violence against their father Toko and Tokiri, and to accidents, all of which can pivot on the smallest event in time. So the book is about the sense of loss, Oe, the wailing that comes from deep within our souls, the lost for loved ones who are torn from us unexpectedly. There are lots of sad events that are unveiled as the story is revealed, violence on violence, and an inability to break the cycle against a few glimmers of hope of abiding love and friendship, mainly from family. Sometimes even the friendships, though, in the book are tinged with a bit of cruelty and a callous disregard. Sometimes that passes for New Zealand humour, which I don't particularly like. For example, there's a scene where there's shit dropped on an uppity Pākehā woman as a bit of a comeuppance for her, and to me that feels a bit puerile. There's the use of te reo throughout the book, but I find the reo a bit kōhanga reo-ish. Rather than revealing nuanced understandings of the characters, I think we're left a little bit with caricatures, which is a shame. I think there is a chance to flesh these characters out more fully, to give us a deeper understanding as to their motivation, their actions, and their potential for development. There's certainly a lot happening in the book, but it takes a while to work out how these two main characters are orphaned, which is obviously an important part of the story. Sometimes the shifting between the stories and characters make it hard to follow because the everyday is sometimes juxtaposed against what happened earlier as part of their parents' story. And there's also a poetic style being told by a spirit who's observing the actions of the living. And they are just beyond the veil between the real world and the spirit world, something that Māori believe. That there is a thin wall or a veil that divides our worlds. And at times, particularly times of great disruption such as death, this becomes transparent for some. So we can see that grief and loss are an overriding theme and feeling in this book. I recommend the book, but I've got some provisos. It is part of a New Zealand collection, but I've got reservations about the writing style, the perpetuation of stereotype views of Māori, even from an author who's been challenged about not being Māori enough. It feels as if she's trying to claim her spot as a Māori author with this book, and I think she's got potential for great writing in the future, and I really look forward to seeing what she comes up with. And a bit like Alan Duff's books, I suspect that this first book from this author would make a great film. So it'd be interesting to see where she goes next.
Some of the criticisms, could there be an intention to some of those devices? Could there be an intention even to a puerile scene like the one you described? Does it feel in character?
It does, but in a way, I mean, children can be casually cruel. And she is describing, if you like, the connivance between the two main characters, which draws them closer together, which is Arama, or Ari, and his cousin, Beth. You know, the fact that they collude in doing this and then, you know, both get caught and then punished for it. Draws them close together in this kind of conspiracy. But, you know, kids can do naughty things like that, but it does feel a bit contrived. And I also, I sometimes find New Zealand humour a little bit like this, you know. It's almost like potty humour. And
maybe, again, it comes down, I suppose, to perceiving whether that is the... that is true for the character. Cindy, wonderful, thoughtful observations. Thank you very, very much. Cindy Kiro has reviewed Aue by Becky Manawatū. It's published by Makaurau Press at $35 the price.